We just finished the speeches at the convention here. I got John Geddes and Aaron Wary with me, and we're just going to talk a little bit about their reactions to the speeches. John, I guess I'll start with you. Who for you stood out among the candidates today?
I thought that Nathan Cullen was good right off the top. He had the first slot, and I thought he came out well. I thought the fact that he had no setup, no videos, no nonsense, just came straight to the stage was effective. I liked that. It was stripped down and kind of good. Works for him because he's a naturally a solid speaker. He was very muted on his main distinctive point, which is the idea of cooperating with Liberals and Greens in some ridings. And that was intentional. I'm sure that's not what he wants to draw attention to. He wants to focus on, I think, his persona rather than this particular strategic idea he has. I thought it was very unfortunate for Thomas Mulcair that he had a technical problem. His hoopla before he spoke went on too long. He had less time to speak than he obviously planned for. And he spoke much as I am right now, like an auctioneer rushing far too quickly to get through his words. So that was a bit of a problem for him. And it's too bad because I actually think an underrated talent and weapon in Mulcair's arsenal is his voice. Very mellifluous, very nice. So I thought Cullen, good performance. On the other end, Mulcair, an unfortunate setback. And Aaron, you want to weigh in on people?
Yeah, I'd have to agree on Cullen. I think Cullen was strong, especially in comparison. He seemed strong when he was on stage, but as the speeches went on, you realized how strong he seemed. I thought Brian Topp's speech was a good speech. Again, with Brian, the question is always, can he deliver it? Is he the guy to deliver it? Is his delivery enough? And then, yeah, in addition to Mulcair, the same problem seems to have afflicted Peggy Nash, where they just didn't think out how they were going to do those 20 minutes, ran out of time, and had really a kind of terrible end to that 20 minutes. You know, who knows how that actually affects things voting-wise, but if you were intending to use those 20 minutes to sort of showcase yourself, that was a bad day.
Sorry, go ahead. One thing I would say about this is if you believe that this was a race primarily defined between Topp and Mulcair, that's a big if, but there's a conventional wisdom that's how it's defined, then you had to think that this is quite interesting how this went. Mulcair should have had the advantage. He is a better, more natural performer, a more polished political performer. Because of the timing glitch, he rushed his thing. An advantage probably had to go to Topp to some degree for that simple reason. So Mulcair, who it should have been his night, at least in terms of that head-to-head competition, didn't quite pull it off. On the other hand, it's worth remembering that most of the voting went on in advance of all this. So this really will affect a minority of the votes here, not the big chunk.
I know everyone was saying, you know, Mulcair is sort of the favorite, the guy to beat or whatever. Would you guys say that's still the case despite what happened today?
I think he still definitely has to be considered the favorite. I don't think you can take that away from him entirely, but he didn't help his cause. He put on a good show for 10 minutes and then fell apart, it seemed. And that's not going to help him. Now, whether it hurts him enough to really endanger his leadership hopes, that's tough to say. It's so hard to figure out whether these speeches matter. I mean, you go back to 2006 with the Liberals, Dion goes up, gives the worst performance of anyone, and, you know, ends up winning on the, you know, subsequent ballots. You don't want to put too much stock in this, but he definitely didn't help himself.
We're going to talk history of conventions. I would go back even further than that and think about the time that Jean Charest far outperformed Kim Campbell at a Tory convention, and still it wasn't enough to put him over her. So coming in as a front runner is a formidable advantage. Mulcair has that here. And it's worth remembering that in terms of that segment of votes that are still to come, a lot of them, those people are here. What was the vote, the count of people? 4,000 and change here. Those people are not just going to be listening to speeches, they're going to listen to each other, and now we'll see them, you know, sort of roaming around, working the room, talking to one another. Matters at least as much as what happened from the platform.
Yeah, really, I mean, one of the interesting questions now is, you know, we know there's 55,000 people who have voted. We know there are 4,600 in this room. So the question then becomes, how many people are outside this room and are going to vote this weekend? If that number's high, then maybe today is a big effect. If it's, you know, only a few more thousand people, then we're talking really short strokes at that point.
If you're thinking in terms of, well, who might come up the middle, as the expression goes, between Topp and Mulcair coming behind, but in that view of things, people would have said maybe Nash, maybe Cullen, I think, was thinking coming in here. We haven't talked, by the way, about Paul Dewar, but maybe Nash, maybe Cullen. Well, if the performance matters, Cullen certainly helped his cause here, and Nash probably hurt hers in terms of those people who are in the second tier. On Dewar, I thought he was interesting in that he wasn't terrible. He didn't have a bad outing, but Aaron, what do you think? I didn't think he really caught fire up there. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't stick. The only thing that sticks in my memory about those 20 minutes is Charlie Angus and the rapping, which is, you know, maybe, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, I guess, but you would like to think that, you know, your candidate was the one who left with the biggest impression. And he somehow fades out of this. He didn't do terribly, and he didn't stick out, and he wasn't being necessarily closely watched like Top was. So it's sort of, I mean, in Dewar's case, it may entirely depend on whether bilingual delegates or bilingual members and Francophone members listen to his French and like what they heard or not. I mean, that may again be the question with him.
There is another point on Dewar, is that he tried to pull himself away from the fray a little bit by saying this isn't about left-right. Well, that's code for it isn't about Top, Mulcair, and also it isn't about cooperating with other parties. That is, of course, code for Cullen. So to some degree, Dewar tried to say, view me as someone distinct from some of the bitterer parts of the campaign as it's unfolded towards the end. I personally think if you're in Dewar's position, which is he's definitely back in the pack, you should be more explicit. If you're going to try to make those points, I would have just made them. I would have named Top and Mulcair. I would have named Cullen and just go for broke, sending subtle signals like he tried to do. I'm not sure that's sufficient at this point to give him an edge.
All right. Well, great. Thanks, guys. That's great.
Okay. Thanks.